Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
If you've been following along, you know that for the past several weeks, we've been taking you inside some of the new food we can be looking forward to in the weeks and years ahead, from the fancy food show at the Javits Center that was held back the end of June and early part of July this year. We do have one more show in our series. That's going to be today. By the way, if you missed any of the interviews or any of the products that we've been talking about, just go to the China America Hit Radio website, and we have a new section, which is called Food, cleverly enough. So click on the food section. It'll open up pictures of the booths at the food show, as well as listening to all the interviews that I did while we were on the floor there. So let's wrap up this week with another trip to the fancy food show.
We're talking with Emily Cooley at the Brandcastle exhibit. You've got a nice, big, colorful exhibit here, Emily. Tell us a little bit about Brandcastle. What is it that you have? What are your products you brought here today?
We're a specialty food company. We thrive on building products to help families create and entertain and teach kids to learn how to bake. So a lot of our products contain cake mixes, cupcake mixes, and things to decorate them, cupcake picks, to really help entertain and bring children the ability to learn how to cook.
That's very important because I like to cook today myself, and one of my very first gifts when I was about 10 years old was a Betty Crocker Easy Bake Oven with a light bulb inside of it and some little packages of cake mix. So I've been doing that for a very, very long time. Tell me a little bit about some of the brands. I noticed that you have some very popular national brands in terms of logos. You have Hello Kitty. You have some other things. How do you work out those relationships? Did they come to you? You go to them? What?
It's really a collaboration. Like you said, we have the Hello Kitty license. We have the Disney license. And through partnership over the course of about a year, we've been able to negotiate and develop products that are strategically catered to the markets that the characters are for.
Do they come to you and ask you to do a specific product, let's say a Disney film or a Sanrio product is going to have a pie in it or a cake in it or something, and they want to replicate that?
We have weekly meetings with our licensing partners where we have brainstorm sessions just on what types of products we want to develop, who are going to be the hot properties in the next 6 months and the next year. So it's really a collaboration on not only the flavors, but what those flavors and what those end products end up looking like.
You say you get to China occasionally. Tell me about your travels there.
We have a wonderful office in southern China. We have about 10 employees that help us because our kits have components and food that are sometimes sourced from China. We work very closely with them on the full supply chain and development of product and packaging as well.
You promoting anything specifically at this year's show or anything that's going to be rolling out between now and the holiday or next year?
We are introducing a new line of products. It's an all-natural line for us, so it has no GMOs. It's trans-fat free. So this is a big initiative for us this year. We see it's a trend in the U.S. market. So that's a big, exciting thing for us. We also have some new Hello Kitty and Disney items that we're launching for Val and Easter, which is being sold in this time frame.
When people wanted to find your products, would they go through you or do they go through the brand owner?
Our products are found, it's mainly a seasonal business. So we may have products in for Halloween or may have products in for holidays. So we don't have a lot of everyday products in the store. That's something that we're definitely looking to do. So customers will find us online. We have some things on some retail partners online. And we're in all the major channels of distribution as well.
If people wanted to know more about Brandcastle and the brands that you represent, how could they find the information?
We're at brandcastle.com online. We have some publicity out there. We do some press releases. A lot of bloggers will have our products and comment on them. So if you look for some of our key products online, you'll definitely find a lot of information out there.
Thank you, Emily. That's brandcastle.com. Our guest this time is Andrew Reynolds, and he's with Icebox Water. Tell us a little bit about icebox water. Those are two words that most people are familiar with, at least those of us who are over 30 remember that an icebox was a refrigerator once upon a time. But tell us about your product.
Steve, thanks for having me and Icebox on the radio. Icebox water is a Canadian spring water packaged in an environmentally friendly package that is biodegradable, compostable, and on the health side, eliminates the threat of BPAs leaching out of the plastic into the water.
And how did the concept come up? I mean, did you wake up in the middle of the night one day and decided the world needs a better water?
No, the company actually saw the need of the amount of trash and plastic bottles that ended up in the oceans and the rivers and thought there had to be a better way. And they thought Icebox was a very simple solution, putting it in what looks like a milk carton, but it's a little technically different to alleviate a lot of the plastic that goes in there.
What's the sourcing for the water?
The source is from Newfoundland, Canada. And it's a spring source up there, very pure, very remote part of the country.
If people wanted to get Icebox water, how do they buy it? Do they buy it in large quantities, small quantities, or how or where can they find it?
You can buy Icebox water in two fashions, one in a single-serve 16-ounce package or a 12-pack 12-pack carton. And you can get them at a lot of retailers nationally, such as Whole Foods, HEB in the Texas region, Harris Teeter in the Mid-Atlantic, and the Roach Brothers in the Boston area.
I don't have to tell you that there's a lot of waters on the market these days, up from one or two 20, 25 years ago. And we all have to drink water. What's the great interest these days? I mean, just from your own perspective.
We see a great amount of interest in the quality of the water. The source is really becoming more prevalent, such as in California, where there are a lot of issues about some of the tap waters and things getting into them, such as pesticides or pharmaceuticals. People really starting to care more about where the water is coming from. So we think the source is paramount. And now coming out with the environmental aspect, we think we're offering a product that really helps people be a little greener in their lifestyle really easily without changing their behavior much.
If people want to know more about Icebox water, how can they find it?
They can go to www.icebox-water.com or find us on Facebook at Icebox Water.
Hey, listen, Andrew, thank you very much. Good luck with your show and your Icebox water. We're at a booth that has some signs that are kind of intriguing. Let her spice things up. One hot mama, she's so zesty. Actually, this answers my first question, because the name of the booth is Mrs. Renfro's, and I'm speaking with Doug Renfro, so there is a Mrs. Renfro.
Yeah, Mrs. Renfro was my grandmother, and my grandparents started our company in their garage in 1940.
And where are you headquartered now?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Now, you've got a line of basically hot sauces. How and why are yours different and special? Because they're really good. I really like the hottest, the one down on the right there.
Thanks very much. Our forte the last 20 years or so has been to come out with flavors, a variety. So instead of just hot, medium, and mild, we created mango habanero, black bean, raspberry chipotle, the ghost pepper you're referring to. It's really hot with an Indian ghost pepper, butchalokia pepper. And our strength and our emphasis has been to create these flavors, which are good for cooking as well as dipping, but at an everyday price, not a gourmet price point.
So when this product was first invented, the first Mrs. Renfro started putting these things together, was there one basic batch that was the core?
We've been very evolutionary. My grandparents actually made syrups and relishes, and we started into the salsa business maybe 30 years ago. And our core certainly was just a mild and hot at that time. You know, the American market wasn't ready for fusion salsa 30 years ago. And from that point, we've evolved over the last 20 years into 15 more varieties.
Well, coming from Fort Worth, Texas, obviously Texas is probably the mother load of hot sauces. A lot of competition down there, a lot of inspiration, I guess, too, right?
Right. It's extremely competitive. There are 500 brands of salsa nationally, and we've worked our way up to number 10. So I like to call us the biggest little guys, you know.
Do you still make other products, or are you pretty much into the salsas now?
We do. We also pack products for a lot of other companies that don't have their own factory. So we're about half Renfro and about half co-packing for other people. We make cheese sauces, bean dips, barbecue sauce, relishes still. But certainly flavored salsa, so to speak, is about 70% of what we do now.
If people want more information on your product line or where to find your items, where can they go?
MrsRenfros.com. We've got the family history. You can buy the products online. You can read about it. There's an information email contact us button there. And go to YouTube and you can see all sorts of videos of people rating our product, eating it, finding out it's hotter than they thought it was, that sort of thing.
And generally available at a lot of retail locations as well.
Right, all the mainstream grocery stores in the country.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Doug. I appreciate it. Love your sausage.
Thanks so much.
Our guest is Jerry Graham, and she's at the Fancy Food Show. And Jerry, what's your product, what's your company, and why?
My company is Nothing But Foods. We make premium snack bars and also granola cookies that we sell in the Northeast, and also we're getting national and even international distribution. Every single one of our products, we have four standard premium snack bars and also two granola cookies, and they're all made with oats, nuts, seeds, honey, olive oil, just real ingredients, nothing artificial, none of the newfangled ingredients, but things that you recognize. And we put them together in bars and cookies.
I don't have to tell you this, but it's the snack world is a crowded field. How did you decide to take a hard right turn and try something the way you thought it ought to be?
Well, I feel like there are 7 billion plus people on this planet, and we all have different taste buds. And what we like one day isn't what we're going to like another. And so consumers are fickle, and we want to try different things. And so why not jump into something that is a consumable?
What's your background, and how did you, and why did you start the company?
I have a background in publishing, and I realized that in order to make my dreams come true and actually to build something that would be sustainable, that my daughter could live from and my daughter's daughter, I needed to start my own business, something that could grow.
And where's headquarters for you?
I'm in Westport, Connecticut.
And you said you lived in Taiwan for a while. How did that happen?
I loved it. I lived there for 7 years, and I worked as a writer and editor over there. I just moved over there where I met my ex-husband, and we lived there for years and loved it. And actually, a lot of it has influenced the recipes. I have a ginger lemon cashew bar that is... It makes me think of Taiwan whenever I eat it, because I want to remember and have an emotional experience when I eat my food. And
if people want to know more about your products, how can they find out? Where can they buy them?
We have a website, nothingbutfoods.com. That's NOTHINBUTFOODS.com.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been great talking to you and meeting with you.
Thank you. Take care.
Our guest is Jerry Graham. And she's at the Fancy Food Show. And Jerry, what's your product, what's your company, and why?
My company is Nothing But Foods. We make premium snack bars and also granola cookies that we sell in the Northeast, and also we're getting national and even international distribution. Every single one of our products, we have four standard premium snack bars and also two granola cookies, and they're all made with oats, nuts, seeds, honey, olive oil, just real ingredients, nothing artificial, none of the newfangled ingredients, but things that you recognize. And we put them together in bars and cookies.
I don't have to tell you this, but it's the snack world is a crowded field. How did you decide to take a hard right turn and try something the way you thought it ought to be?
Well, I feel like there are 7 billion plus people on this planet, and we all have different taste buds. And what we like one day isn't what we're going to like another. And so consumers are fickle, and we want to try different things. And so why not jump into something that is a consumable?
What's your background, and how did you, and why did you start the company?
I have a background in publishing. And I realized that in order to make my dreams come true and actually to build something that would be sustainable, that my daughter could live from and my daughter's daughter, I needed to start my own business, something that could grow.
And where's headquarters for you?
I'm in Westport, Connecticut.
And you said you lived in Taiwan for a while. How did that happen?
I loved it. I lived there for 7 years, and I worked as a writer and editor over there. I just moved over there where I met my ex-husband, and we lived there for years and loved it. And actually, a lot of it has influenced the recipes. I have a ginger lemon cashew bar that is... It makes me think of Taiwan whenever I eat it, because I want to remember and have an emotional experience when I eat my food. And
if people want to know more about your products, how can they find out? Where can they buy them?
We have a website, nothingbutfoods.com. That's NOTHINBUTFOODS.com.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been great talking to you and meeting with you.
Thank you. Take care.
And so that brings to a close our six-part series on the Fancy Food Show from the Javits Center. If you missed any of the interviews or want more information about any of the organizations that we talked with, you can go right to our website and see our new food section. You can click on the vendor of your choice, listen to the interview. If you have any questions about this event or our participation, just send an email to events@chinaamericaradio.com.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.